Happy Father's Day. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this special Father's Day broadcast. How thankful I am for having a godly father. You know him as Pastor Salem. His impact on my life was immeasurable, and I am grateful that his love for Jesus was so abundantly evident in how he lived his life. He wanted everyone to hear the good news that Jesus loved them and wanted them to receive him as their personal Savior. This month, we continue to recognize the 45 years of CWH and the 76 years of Pastor Salem's down-to-earth teaching style, focusing on God's Word and love in a way that people of every age and background can understand. Today, my dad will remind us how we can encourage fathers and those around us in his message, The Steps of a Good Man. God bless you. Happy Father's Day.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And another week has rolled by, and here we are, and we're so excited to be with you and gather with you all over the world and worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And today's a very special day. It's Father's Day. And so we're going to pray especially for the fathers today and thank God for Christian fathers. And we have so many of them, and many of them helping in the ministry here, and many of you watching. And so we're praying for the Christian fathers and all the fathers this Father's Day. We're looking at Psalm 116, where the psalmist writes, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. And so, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are a merciful, loving God, and that we call upon your name in time of trouble. In time of joy, we call upon your name. But when we're in the straits and we don't know which way to turn, we always can turn to you, and you will always help us. And you told us you'd never leave us or forsake us. And we just rejoice that we can live all of our life walking with you, and then walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death, in through the pearly gates, into the celestial city. Oh, thank you for Jesus. So bless us in this service, and bless the fathers especially. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Melissa has a song, Jesus Loves Me, but it's different. It's for senior citizens, the senior citizens version. And so I just love it, and we're going to ask her to sing it this time. God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, though my hair is white as snow, though my sight is growing dim, still he bids me trust in him. When the nights are dark and long, in my heart he puts a song, telling me in words so clear, have no fear, for I am near. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. when my work on earth is done and life's victories have all been won. He will take me home above, then I'll understand His love. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. For the Bible tells me so.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And being 95 years old, that really resonates with me, and I know it does with many of you. And if you'd like a copy of that, you just write to us. Let's see if we can get our address right this minute. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002 in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you a copy free and postpaid. And you can read those words and rejoice, because whether we're young or whether we're old, Jesus loves us and He helps us and takes us through. And you know, in Isaiah, it talks about Jesus as talks about God as a shepherd and carrying the little lambs. And He does. He loves the children and He carries them especially, I know. But then He has another passage and He says He carries the old gray heads. And when we get old and feeble and things start to wear out on us, He's there to help us and carry us through. What a wonderful, wonderful Lord. Well, we want to share some of the letters. We get so many nice letters, and I hope that more of you will write. Just keep writing, and if you have a Bible question, we'll try to answer that. And you know, we're on Facebook, too, on the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and we have a Bible trivia question that we send out every week, every day, I guess. And you can see if you can get how much you know about the Bible. It's exciting. You just get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can watch on the Facebook, and why, it's just exciting. Well, we're looking at some of the letters here today. Here's one from Raleigh, North Carolina. Pastor Salem, I waited patiently for 5 p.m. every Saturday to watch your service. I absolutely love how simple you make the gospel message. A little child could understand what you're preaching. I love you and look forward to meeting you in heaven someday soon. I feel like I know you and your staff because I've been watching your program for so long. Please keep preaching the sweet story of Jesus, because He is where the real hope is. Love in Christ. And so, yes, we've been over about 38 years now. Some of you are longtime listeners, and that's the message we get over and over. We make it so the children can understand, and it's always the Bible. Everything we have is based on the Bible. We're not telling what we think or what we suppose or what could be, but thus saith the Lord, and His word, He tells in the Scriptures, His word forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. And the heaven and earth will pass away, and the stars and the moon and the planets will pass away, but the word of God will abide forever. And when we've been in eternity forever and ever and ever, the word of God is there. So that's how reliable it is. That's why we depend on it and preach it. Here's Vermilion, South Dakota. You mentioned last week that people liked your letters almost better than your sermons. I think the reason is that your letters are like mini sermons leading up to the main event. Well, that we do get letters. People love this, love the letters. And then I try to answer them, and it says it's a mini sermon. Well, you see, you ask a preacher a question, he'll give you a sermon every time. He's just wired that way. He can't just say yes or no and to give you a few words. He's got to expound, see? And so that's what I'm doing. I'm expounding and I'm preaching mini sermons. I kind of like that. Well, let's see. Here's Fort Myers, Florida. My husband and I enjoy your program so very much. We look forward to hearing and seeing your program every week. We feel like we've been to church. Keep up the old-fashioned preaching and singing the good old hymns. So many of the churches have done away with singing the good old hymns. God bless you and your staff. And so this has just been like being in church. And you know what God tells us? Two or three are gathered together there. I'm in the midst of them. And when we gather in Jesus' name, we gather around the throne of God at the feet of Jesus. And all over the world, we're one body worshiping Jesus and studying his word and finding and preach and telling about the wonderful salvation in Jesus and having people come and join the family of God. And you have to join the family of God. You're just not born into it. You have to accept Jesus as your Savior. Now, there's one exception, and that is the children. And Jesus says, let the little children come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. They're all a part of his kingdom until they come to the age of accountability when they can decide, yes, I want Jesus. No, I don't. And so we can just rejoice because we're all one family of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is, I like this letter, St. Joseph, Missouri. Thank you for being our guide to heaven's gates. Praise the Lord. And I thought about that. That's exactly what the Christian Worship Hour is. And you know, we can't have the Christian Worship Hour without your prayers and your gifts. And so it's just not one person guiding these people to the gates of heaven, and then they see Jesus, and they call in the name of the Lord, and they're born again, and they're a member of the family of God. We couldn't do that unless we had your prayers and your gifts. So you're part of the guide, too. We can't do it. You can't do it without us, and we can't do it without you. But put us together, and we'll spread the Bible, the Word of God, all over the world. Isn't that great? Well, let's see. Tucson, Arizona says, you inspired me to get in touch with my church. I just realized how much it means to me to be a part of a church again. We're now in our senior ministry list. Someone calls us often to see how we're doing and if we need anything. So thank you again for being a blessing to me. And you know that we do support the church. And when we talk about the church, we mean those that are preaching the word. There's some people, some organizations that call themselves churches, but they don't preach the Bible. They don't preach about God. They're into politics and they're into feeling good and all. I don't know what all they're doing, way off yonder. So you find a church. Maybe it's a small church. Maybe it's a mega church. I don't know. But see if they're preaching the Bible and then go to church if you possibly can go to church, because the church is instituted by God. It's his thing. And he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So we always urge people to get into church. And don't go to the church to see what you can get. Go to the church to see what you can give and how you can help the church in the work of the Lord. Well, see, there's a little mini sermon. And it all comes, you get it free. If you make a gift, you get it free. If you don't give anything, you still get it free. I don't know how we can operate that way, but that's the way we do it. Winter Garden, Florida. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I'm 93 years of age. As a result of an accident 74 years ago, I cannot take one step without falling. But thanks. Now look at what she says. She's in a wheelchair for 74 years. And she says, but thanks be to God, I still have hope. That's the Christian faith. You know, when we become a Christian, it doesn't mean that we're going to be on easy street all the time. Just look at the persecuted church. They're dying because of Jesus. They're dying because of their faith. And so we may have a malady or a sickness, and you pray to God to take it away, and maybe he will and maybe he won't. Maybe he wants you to endure that. Maybe he wants you to live above it. And here she is. She's in this wheelchair 74 years, and she's a witness for Jesus because she has hope. She knows that someday she's going to walk the golden streets of heaven, and she won't need a wheelchair, and I won't need a walker, and won't we jump around like a couple of grasshoppers? Boy, that will be great. Let me see. Oh, here, what is this? Now, California, Missouri. And so she says, "You are my church on every Sunday morning. I'm 91 years old and live alone, but I'm never lonely because God is always with me and he's given me very special children and grandchildren. I was brought up in the Salvation Army, took Jesus into my heart when I was 10. That's what I did when I was 10. Salvation Army is a great organization. It's a great work for God. And we're thankful for the ministry of the Salvation Army. I know our church supports them in their budget and prays for them. One more letter, and this one is from Council Bluffs, Iowa. And this is a special letter. This is from a gentleman. And he says, "I tune you in every Sunday morning. You bring something to me almost every time to help me. This Sunday, you read a letter from a lady dying with cancer. She thanked cancer for bringing her to Jesus." That's exactly what she did. I remember the letter. "She thanked cancer for bringing her to Jesus." Then he goes on, "My wife has terminal lung cancer. I've been very upset and angry this is happening to her. She's been a good person all her life. I sat there and thought about what you read about the lady thanking cancer for and my anger was gone. It's passed away. God bless you." And you see, this lady wrote, and she thanked the God that she had cancer because she wasn't a Christian. And when she got that cancer, her turned to Jesus, put her eyes on Jesus and accepted Jesus. And she was thankful for the malady because it saved her soul. And she was exactly right. I had a dear brother, Carp McAmis, way up in Wyoming, and he wasn't a Christian. And he had a heart trouble, and they took him to the Mayo Clinic, and they thought he was going to die. But God spared his life, and Carp says that brought him to Jesus. And he opened his heart to Jesus, and he became a deacon in the church and a servant of the Lord, and he always thanked God for his malady. See, that's the way we have to live. And so we just hope that more of you will write to us and that we can be a help to you. If you have questions, you write to us, or if you want to make a gift. And the Lord knows we sure need to have your gifts because we can't operate just on hot air. We've got to have some cold cash. And so you need to help us. And so you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I know what you're thinking. Well, what if I send that money in and they use it? What do they spend it on? And they probably have big banquets and they probably live in fancy houses and maybe they got two houses and some have maybe three. And oh, what are they doing with that money? Well, I want to tell you something. We're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And this organization audits our books. And do they audit our books? They drive you crazy. They're everywhere. And they check everything, even how they even found out that I got a wart on my left leg. It just is impossible. And they check every penny we get, and we have to receipt every penny we get. And then I'm going to tell you something else they do. They check on how we spend it, and we account for every penny. So when you send a gift to the Christian Worship Hour, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and it'll go where we say it'll go, all for preaching the gospel. And then we have something else. It's a free gift, and it's called the New Song. And this is a little Bible study we put out every month. And this month, we're talking about 8 ways to overcome discouragement. You ever get discouraged? Got 8 things here that'll help you to get out of it so you won't get discouraged. Or if you're discouraged, help you get out. And so you read those 8. And if you say, "I tried all 8 and it didn't work, I'm still discouraged." Well, you write to me and I'll give you, I know I can find at least one more. Maybe that'll do the trick. But you just write and let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And also now remember, if you want to have a copy of the Jesus Loves Me for senior citizens, you write to us. And to all of you on shortwave radio, here it is again, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now I'm going to pray, and Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord lays on your heart. And if you give as God lays on your heart, we'll know just what He wants us to do, and we'll be obedient to it. So, Heavenly Father, thank You for supplying our needs now for almost 40 years, always through Your people. Many of those people are now with You in heaven, reaping their rewards, but You always raise up new people to join us and help us. We give You thanks for every one of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from Psalm 37 today. It's Father's Day, and it talks about a good man in this passage, and we'll see what God means by good. And so we're starting with the 23rd verse, Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Turkey. Every week we pray for a different country, a different area, and today we're praying for the people in Turkey. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage on a good man, a righteous man. We thank you for the men who do know you and love you, the fathers, and that would carry on your work and care for their families and care for their children and just bless and help them, because sometimes it's hard to make ends meet and get everything covered and everything taken care of. and it is a great responsibility for a father to be the head of the household. And so we pray for them that you'll give them wisdom and strength and help them to lean upon you and help them to know that their ways are established in the steps of the good man are will last forever. They'll stand forever as they walk with you and serve you. So we just pray to bless them. We pray that you'll be with your people wherever they are, Lord, and watch over them. And we think especially of the persecuted church in Turkey. Our brothers and sisters there, Lord, they're part of our family, the family of God. That family's all over the world on the face of the earth. And part of that family's in heaven and part of that family's on earth. But it's the same family with the same head, the dear Lord Jesus. And someday all of the family on earth is going to be in heaven and will be one family gathered round the throne of God. And won't that be something? We just are so excited about that, Lord. And we're going to see it. We're going to be a part of it. If we have Jesus, if we receive Jesus, you have to be born again. You're not a part of the family of God until you received him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. We're not the children of God to receive you. So may there be many, Lord, in our service today that will say, oh, I've never received Jesus. I want him in my heart. I want him in my life. I want him to take away my sins. Oh, dear Jesus, just move in hearts of the multitudes by your Spirit. And so now just bless us in this service that all we do and say will honor the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Barb's going to sing a song entitled Daddy's Hands. God bless you, Barb.
I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer, reaching out to hold me when I had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in the calluses and lines. Years of work and worry had left their mark behind. I remember Daddy's hands as they held my mama tight and patted my back for something done right. There are things that I've forgotten that I loved about that man, but I always remember the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I've done wrong. Daddy's hands were always gentle, and I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands working till they bled, sacrificed unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over, I'd live my life again and never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I was wrong. And I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I was wrong. Daddy's hands were always gentle, and I've come to understand there.
Well, thank you, Barb. And that's what we want to do. We want to encourage the fathers, encourage the dads. It's Father's Day, and we're thankful for Christian fathers everywhere, all over the world. And we don't want to just, challenge them and say, oh, you should do this and that. We want to encourage them. And we want them to see that their ways, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's what we're going to look at. And how that God is with you and that God loves you and God will help you. And you just lean on him. In the Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That is, God delights in the way, the walk of a Christian man. And, of course, he's not going to be perfect because none of us are perfect. And we'll never be perfect till we get to heaven and see the Lord Jesus. And then he'll make us perfect and he'll make us sinless and absolutely innocent. And we'll be with the Lord forever. And so in the meantime, while we make this journey, we stay close to the Lord as we can, and we lean upon him. So here we're told that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that word ordered could mean established, or it could be made firm. And all these words are the same word is used, the same Hebrew word is used in Psalm 8, verse 3, and it's translated ordained. And then he reads, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. So God is telling us here that the steps of a good man are as sure and sound as the planets. The good man is on solid ground and cannot be moved. Now think of that for a moment or two. Think of the precision of the movements of the heavenly bodies, eclipses of the sun and the moon, the conjunctions of the planets and so forth. Some of these things can be predicted hundreds of years before they happen, that because they are so precise and exact and they never change. And when you go out and look at the stars and the planets tonight, they're exactly the place Abraham saw them 3,000 years ago over the plains of Palestine. They are eternal. They're everlasting until the Lord comes again. And then everything will be dissolved and it'll all be gone. And you know, it's interesting that these stars will remain in place until heaven, until God comes again, until Jesus comes again. And then Peter says at the end times, this world is going to be dissolved in a fervent heat with a mighty rushing, a sound of noise, and it's going to disappear. And all there's going to be left is a heaven and a hell. And those who have accepted Jesus Christ and taken him as their Savior will be in heaven. And those who have rejected Jesus Christ, they haven't turned to the Lord. They don't want any part of him. They will be lost forever. And oh, we pray for them that if you haven't accepted Jesus, do it today. Do it right now. You could do it this minute and say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you, and I ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sin, and I'll follow you and serve you. I'll forsake my evil ways the best I can, and I'll walk with you as long as you give me breath. You could just say that right now. We get letters from people that say, I prayed when you prayed on those prayers, and I became a child of God, and I have a peace that I never had before. And so the wonderful stars and the planets, how they established and how sound they are. And we say, how can that be? How can it be that they are there? And it's there because God put them there. And you know, I always think so many times that some people say, oh, I'm an atheist and I don't believe there is a God. I really wonder if they really believe it. But if they do, God have mercy on your soul. That's all I can say. And they'll say, but I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I believe in evolution, that we came from a bug or something. They don't tell you where the bug came from. And they don't tell how it can all happen. But they're looking for the missing link. You know, I've been preaching 73 years now, and all those years they've been looking for that missing link. The poor things are looking for the missing link. Now, I wouldn't, now just use your brain a minute. If we came and we had a link between the being an ape and a man, a human being, and there were thousands and millions of them, don't you suppose there'd be links all over the place? And they can't even find one. You know why they can't find one? Because there is no such thing. Evolution is a fake. It's a farce. It's a myth. It's a false teaching. We came from the hand of God. That's where we came from. But I see these people, and they say, oh, they don't believe that God exists. And then you know what they do? They set their watches. And you know how they set their watches for all over the world? They set them by the stars, the planets. And they say there is no God, but they use his stars to set their watches. How dumb can you get? You just pray for them. You don't understand it. But here we're talking about this man. And he says that we are ordained of God. He puts it like this. Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. There it is, ordained, that we should walk in them. That simply means that when we talk about a good man, we're meaning a righteous man. We're meaning a person that's put their faith in Jesus Christ. The good man is the man that trusteth in him. That's the key to it. And so when we receive Jesus, then our steps are ordained. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, we Christians ought to do good works, but you don't do the good works until you're born again, until you accept Jesus. There's people that think, well, if I do good works, then I'll get to heaven. And they think by doing good works, they'll get to heaven. If you don't believe me, do a little test. Take it, go out and ask 10 different people, are you going to heaven? And the ones will say, yes, my hope is heaven. I expect to go to heaven. And then you ask them, well, why do you think God ought to let you into heaven? And they'll tell you their good works. 9 out of 10, maybe 10 out of 10. And works, we says, we're told in Ephesians, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And so it's not works it'll save. The weak accept Jesus Christ, and as Paul says in Romans, to him that worketh not but believeth. And so we receive Jesus. Now, after we accept Jesus, then we do the good works. And we do the good works not to be saved, but we do the good works because we are saved. Now, you got to keep that straight. And when it talks about this righteous man, his is a man that trusteth in him. That is, he's the Christian man, the Christian woman, too, as far as that goes. And so he tells us about this person. And he makes three statements about this man that is good, that's righteous man, the Christian man. He makes some statements about that. He says, first of all, in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. And so this is the place where we have to start. We have to start by trusting in God, trusting in Jesus. You have to stay by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so if we want to have eternal life, then we have to practice our faith. And we have to believe that Jesus died for us and rose again, and we have to ask him into our heart. Take John 5:24, and that's my favorite verse in all the Bible. John 5:24. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, hear the word means the Bible, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. The moment you believe, you have eternal life. And he says, and he believeth on him hath everlasting life. And then he goes on in that same verse and says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. And it's all because of faith. And I remember when I started the ministry, I remember it was a man named Archie. And he's long gone, 73 years ago. And we were praying for him. And I just prayed, I says, Archie, Just believe in Jesus. Just trust Jesus. He says, I want to trust Jesus, but I don't have any faith. I can't do it. I just came out of seminary. We then taught us what to, how to answer that. So I said, well, maybe we'll pray harder. Well, I found out since God tells us that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith, and you can believe if you want to. That's all there is, period. And if you don't believe, it's because you don't want to. Here's your neighbor comes in. He says he got a 5-pound fish. He caught a 5-pound fish. Well, do you believe him or not? You can believe if you want to. And I know some of these fishermen, they come in as a 5-pound fish. I wouldn't believe it in 100 years. They always exaggerating. And I read about one man. He says that he caught a 10-pound bass. And the other old fisherman, he couldn't believe it. And he says, well, you know what I did. You caught a 10-pound bass, but I caught a lantern, and I pulled it up, and it was lit. And the guy says, what? You don't expect me to believe that? He says, well, he says, I tell you, you take 5 pounds off your fish, and I'll blow the light out of my lantern, see? They're just all kinds of stories. You believe some, you can't believe others. But when the word of the living God comes, you can believe if you want to. You can be saved if you want to. And I tell you why I know that. Because Peter tells us, he says, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All come to anybody. He wants everybody to come to repentance, wants them to come to Jesus. He wants you to be saved. And you could be saved this very minute. Just put your faith in the Lord. And so this man, he has to trust in the Lord. And then the second thing he tells about this man in verse 4 is, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And so now we have to delight ourselves. We trusted in the Lord, and now we have to find all of our delight in him. Well, where is your delight today? Some of it is in your businesses. Some of it's in having a big career. Some of it's in music. Some of it's in golfing. Can you imagine golfing? I see these people golfing out there. And what do? They got a little white ball, and that cost them a fortune, I suppose. I don't know. They don't give them away. And they have that little white ball, and they hit that thing. And then they go, and they look in the rushes, and they look in the grass, and they look at everywhere. And it takes about an hour, and they find that little ball, and then they hit it again and lose it again. Now, what? I can't figure how that figures out. And so what we have to do, we can believe, but what do we have? And what is our delight in? And our delight is to be in the Lord, the things of the Lord. So we read the Bible, and we pray, and we get into church, and we get into Sunday school, and we get into Bible study groups, and we talk with Christian people. And as iron sharpeneth iron, so as Christian people work together and talk together, they help each other and strengthen each other. And this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, we delight him. We delight in him because he says, I don't want you to have any other gods before me. We delight in him in honoring our father and our mother. We delight in him in keeping the teachings of the scripture. We delight in him as we give all of our life to him. And that's where we have the fullness of life. We're told he that will give his life away will find it. You give it to Jesus, and you'll find what really living is. And then the third thing he says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. And so we trust in him and rely on him, and then we commit everything to Jesus. It's just like here, for instance, you're walking along and you have a heavy load. Yeah, you say you got a sack of potatoes. And you just can't hardly, it's so hard you can't take another step. And you just don't know how you're going to go any farther. And you're at your wit's end, and then here comes a strong man. And you roll those, that sack of potatoes on that strong man. And that's what we do with Jesus. He's that strong man. He's that God. And he says, if you, all of you that are heavy laden, you have burdens and heavy laden, and you have trials and you have sorrows. You bring them to me, and I'll help you with them, and I'll carry your load. You'll give them to me. And then my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, I'll expect you to work with me. I'll expect you to follow me. And there'll be things to do for me, but I'll make it easy. I'll make it bearable. And so we have those people that love the Lord and serve the Lord. And when we think about the persecuted church, we hear about them going to their death. And we saw these men, five or six men, and they're all there and they have their heads bowed. And they are saying in Arabic, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And they die. But the Lord takes them to heaven. The moment they die, they're in the presence of the Lord. You don't pray. You don't pity the martyrs. They're in the presence of the Lord. But we pray for those left behind, the mothers and the children and the friends and the grandparents and the suffering. But Jesus comes in a special way. He gives his strength and help to them. And then he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. And when we do that, then we just do that by patiently waiting on the Lord. Commit our way to the Lord. Be patient and wait on the Lord. And let him do his work and let him carry on. Now, supposing we've accepted Jesus, and supposing we're trying to serve him and follow him, and we've trusted in him, and we've been delighted in him, and we've waited in him, and everything is beautiful. And then we fall, we sin without thinking, or something is rushed upon us, and the Satan sets a trap for us, and we fall and we sin. And then what? Does everything go by the boards? Now look at what he says in this 37th Psalm, verses 23 and 24. He says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That can be translated, if they fall, it isn't fatal, for the Lord holds them in his hand. How many of you have seen a little child learning to walk, and he takes a few steps and he falls down, and you say, you dumb cluck, I'm done with you. No, you pick him up and you help him up. And you let him fall and you help him up. And that's what God does. And every time we fail, he's there to help us. And he's there to love us. And he doesn't say, I'm through with you. Like when Peter, he swore he didn't know Jesus. And then he says, and I'm sure Peter thought, I blew it. He'll never have anything to do with me. I failed him. He's done with me. And he went back to fishing. That was his profession. And what did Jesus do? He followed him to Galilee. He built a fire and he had a fish and he had him come and eat with him. And he dined with them and he recommissioned Peter. And Peter went out and he went until he died for Jesus on a cross. So when people say, you've heard it says, people that say, the bird with the broken pinion never soared as high again. You ever hear that? The bird with a broken pinion never flew as high as again. Now, that's just from the devil because it doesn't mean a thing. We can have that broken pinion and come back to Jesus and fly higher than ever before. The Bible is full of it. Look at Abraham. He worshiped and he bowed down to idols. If he didn't fail God Almighty, who in the world failed him? And he gave up on worshipped idols, and what then? He repented, and he turned to his God. And what does God say? He calls him the friend of God. And he says, Abraham, I'll make you so that your seed is like the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky without number. And spiritually, the spiritual descendants of Abraham are just exactly that, because through the Jewish nation, God sent his son and sent his word, and they were the keeper of the word, and they gave us the Bible through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Abraham is a picture of it. Look at Moses. Look at the great Moses. When they talked about Moses, they talked about Moses and the prophets. They singled him out. What did he do? He killed a man. They were abusing one of the Hebrew people, and he killed him and had to go to the Midian desert for 40 years before he could come back. Look at Rahab. You know what she was? She was a streetwalker in Jericho. and she was as far in sin as she could possibly be, and she became a great servant of God, and she is listed as part of the descendants of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11, she's listed with the heroes of faith. Broken pinion flew higher than ever she'd ever flown or has ever flown in her life. Think of Eli and Samuel. They were poor, inconsistent fathers, but they were strong men of God in God's hands. Oh, what a wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And think of Paul, of how he persecuted the church and was a terrible thing, but he flew again higher than ever before as he served God. So no matter what your past may be, it may, if you're clean, if you come and fill yourself with the Lord Jesus, if you come to Jesus Christ, you can fly higher than you ever flown before. That's the good news of the gospel. That's why I love to preach it, is because I don't care who you are or what you've done. You say, well, I've sinned against light. Who cares? God says, I'll take you and I'll forgive you and I'll forgive all your sins. And St. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners and Christ saved me. And what does it say? Where faith, where sin abounded, grace did far more abound. And he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so if you come to him, like the psalmist said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. And David said, I have been young and now I am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And what he's simply telling us is, this wonderful Jesus is, you can have a second chance, you can a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a fifth chance, and a hundredth chance, because every time you fail, when we fail, we can go to Jesus and he'll forgive us. And he says in 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if our heart is right and we're wanting to serve Jesus, we may stumble 1,000 times and you can go back and find forgiveness and you can find fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And so what we're praying today is that you know Jesus Christ. You have to have Jesus. Jesus says that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's just that plain. Do you have Jesus or don't you have Jesus? You see, the way to heaven is through a man, is through a person. It's not through the church. It's not through baptism. It's not through confirmation. It's not through circumcision. It's not through good works. It says, he that hath the Son hath life. You have Jesus. And how do you have Jesus? And you just simply make the prayer of the penitent and you just in your own words say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins and I'm going to turn from them as best I can. And I just ask you to come into my heart. Just talk to him just as you are. I talked to a young man one time, some time ago now, and I told him to just pray. And so he prayed and he said, Starlight said, dear Jesus, I'm down here at 6th and Lincoln, as though God didn't know where he was. I'm down here at 6th and Lincoln, and I've sinned, and I've accepted you. And I see that young man every once in a while. That's been 30 years ago or more. He's not young anymore, and God knows I'm not. But he accepted Jesus. And you just say, just come into my heart. And Jesus says, I'm out knocking at the door, and I'll come in. And then thank him. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us, and we'll send you literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I hope that you'll write, and I hope you'll help us with our finances. And we'll use them as best we can. We'll reach as careful as we can. And we'll use them to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're law watching today and you're a Christian. Maybe you're even a pastor. We hear from pastors, maybe you were a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, and you got into some sin and you thought God was done with you. And he says, no, if you come back, I'll cleanse you just like the prodigal son. When you come back, you'll see God's arms are open for you. He's watching for you. He's looking for you. And you could come back today and say, Jesus, I'm sorry I sinned. And I ask you just to forgive me and I'll serve you the best I can. And you'll never be perfect until you get over there. I have to confess sins every day that I commit, thoughts that run through my mind and things that I do and say. None of us are exempt from it, but none of us are exempt from the grace of God either. So you write to us and we'll send you literature and pray for us and we'll pray for you and those who are shut-ins. And you really enjoyed that song, Jesus Loves Me, for senior citizens. We got it on the screen. And those on the shortwave, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And we'll be looking for your letter. Now we're going to close with a prayer today. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you for all the people all over the world, Lord, all over the world. And we're all banded together and we're praying and people are coming to you and they're praying the prayer of the penitent. They're praying the sinner's prayer and they're being born again and the angels of God are rejoicing and the Trinity is rejoicing in heaven as those coming to you. And those backslidden are coming back, Lord. And the young people, oh, we pray for them and all of the temptations they have and how you love them and how you'll give them strength to overcome. Bless them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So until next week, let's pray for each other. Let's think about each other. And then we're gonna have a special sermon. I'm going to tell you about it. Be sure to join us.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.